Right now, we're going to talk about an issue that is near and dear to my heart. Today is National Son and Daughter Day. I think all of us who have children are take for granted that you have a healthy, wonderful, loving relationship. But for people who have been alienated from their children and severed from their children's lives for no good reason, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when you're not speaking to your child. This is a very dangerous and emerging mental health crisis, parental alienation. It basically happens when one parent turns a child against the other parent by basically brainwashing them, saying bad things about them, saying things to make them afraid of the other parent. If that resonates with you out there, it's a very common situation. And in extreme cases of separation and divorce, a child could be permanently in a situation where there's no relationship at all. It has horrible, long-lasting effects on both, obviously, the parents and the children. And here to talk about parental alienation is Jill Ajizi. She's an alienated mother herself, the president, past president of the Parental Alienation Awareness Organization, and the author of A Look of Love. She regularly appears on television and radio to talk about this issue. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Karen.
My heart goes out to you. I've known you for so many years. I have met your children.
So many.
many. And I know that every day like this is hard. Every day is hard. But days like Mother's Day and all of these times have to tug at you. But you've done such a good job of making people aware of it. And so let's talk a little bit about the syndrome. Can you give us an example of how parental alienation starts in a family?
Sure. And it most often occurs in adversarial divorce, and it can occur in an intact marriage. So there are many different scenarios, but I would say the highest percentage of parental alienation occurs in adversarial divorce. So it begins when there is a lot of conflict, and one parent is trying to gain emotional justice over the other. When everything else fails, the last bastion of the fort are the children. So using those children as weapons to engage the other in battle and to try to rip those children away from that parent, whether it be a man or a woman, because this isn't a gender issue. It affects men and women equally. Women have just been a little less vocal, but are now really starting to come out of the closet, so to speak. It's such a really horrible thing to be a mother without your children, and there's such a stigma attached to it. So a lot of women haven't really taken their seat on the bus to discuss that issue. But it's just it begins sometimes very innocently with people not understanding what they're doing when they're making comments about one parent to their children. And then there are parents who have the playbook, who understand exactly what they're doing, and they begin to plant seeds in the minds of the child to erase memory, to erase that parent, to erase that parent's family from that child's life. And it's a very, very damaging process for the child, and it's very long-lasting.
And, we see innocent things where, mom rolls her eyes about dad, or
sure.
Dad says, well, your mom's too busy to talk to you, and you see that, and that's not good. That's never a good thing. But when you take it to the other extreme, where, and let me just say this, I practice law in this area of family law, and I know that the system actually encourages people to be polarized. So I know that I will see my child more if I show that I'm the better parent. And in order to show
right.
I'm the better parent, I'm going to say bad things about the other parent without thinking of the damage that it's doing to the children. But it's to the point where the children absorb it. They you know, mm-hmm. like you said, the memories are erased, and then they start treating that other parent with disrespect and the like.
Horrible disrespect. And there are really, there are eight signs that were sort of categorized by Richard Gardner, who in 1985 termed the phrase parental alienation, or founded the phrase parental alienation and parental alienation syndrome. And then there are 17 signs that you can look at that I encourage people to check off when they're an alienated parent that the other parent can be doing. So it would involve things like not bringing the child to visitation because they've booked something else for the child at the time of visitation, interfering with visitation time, changing the child's last name. There's all kinds of things. So if these 17 things are happening, or 10 of them are happening, you can be pretty sure that parental alienation is rearing its ugly head. And you hit the nail right on the head. This system encourages parental alienation. Why? Because the system has created a cottage industry for itself. And as long as there's conflict in as long as these middle and upper class people can be kept in the court system, the money keeps flowing.
It's just awful. And false accusations are made, too. And you see this all the time and it goes both ways. Like you said, it's gender neutral. You see people making allegations of sexual abuse or physical abuse, and the child gets taken away, and there's a DCFS involvement, and then there's investigations. Yeah. And meantime, the child is now afraid of the other parent and may even believe that the child's been abused by the other parent. That's how deep it goes. Because, if you think about it, your child loves two people the most, dad and mom, right? No matter what. And if one parent who they love right up there is saying bad things about the other person that they love, that's basically telling them that half of them is bad.
You're exactly right in that. And that goes back to Amy Baker. Amy Baker, who's one of the leading mental health experts in the world. There's very few, just a handful. But she says to turn a child against a parent is to turn a child against himself, because you're losing half of that child. And it's just so extremely damaging. And if these people could see what they're doing and the results that it has in the adult life of these children, they might think twice. But so many of these people who are alienators have had damaging childhoods or early adolescence, have had something happen to them, such as sexual abuse or a traumatic divorce where they were alienated. And this is a generational thing.
Absolutely.
So if alienators, alienate their children, then their children become alien. And it's just a cycle that is very difficult to break.
Jill, can we just briefly, I just have a few seconds left, but I would like you to just give some advice to people who may be in this situation or may see that this is happening to them in a high conflict divorce. What are some bullet points that they can do to make sure this doesn't happen or to help their situation?
Well, I think if it's early on and you think there's a possibility that your soon to be ex or ex is doing this, you need to be able to have communication with him or her and understand and be knowledgeable about this issue, because it's there and it's happening. So if you can share with your ex or soon to be ex the damaging effects of parental alienation and how everybody should try to work together. I mean, there's legislation out there now that's going to promote shared parenting. It's been out there for 14 years in Illinois. Many other states have it. But shared parenting isn't always the answer for parental alienation. If you have a narcissist who is an alienator, it's very difficult to combat, especially backed with a very powerful lawyer. And most target parents, the parent who is cut from the child's life, have been financially devastated. So it's very difficult to fight. But if you can have honest and open communication with your children about the fact that it's okay to love both of your parents and your grandparents and your aunts and uncles and cousins, then possibly that child has enough wherewithal to avoid or fight the conflict that exists and is being implanted in that child's mind by the alienator.
And determine that there are lies going on. I mean, it's a hard line to walk, because you don't want to call your spouse a liar. On the other hand, the children need to know the truth. And the truth is that you love your children, and so do the grandparents.
Yeah.
And that both parents are there for the child. But it's just it's a very, very hard syndrome. One of the hardest things I deal with in my legal world. Jill, thank you so much for joining us. And do you have any organizations or any contact information that would be helpful to people?
Sure. Our site is paaousa.org, so Parental Alienation Awareness Organization, USA.org. And you can find us there if you have questions. They can contact me anytime. Everything's all over the Internet, so Google my name. It's there. We're happy to help and be a sort of resource clearinghouse for people who are struggling with where to go and what to do.
Jill, thank you so much for joining us, and you have a good evening.
Thanks, Karen.
Right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.